welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Each weekday morning here on the Genesis Communication Network, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths that are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines. Then, during our second hour, we engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance you'll be able to replace your religion, should you have one, with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Our phone number for those who would like to question or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours is 877-300-7645. As I've shared the last two days, but it's probably worthy of another reminder, Tuesday at sundown, the 26th of March, will be the commencement of Passover, which will be followed the following day by Unleavened Bread, and then the next day by First Fruits. So over these next 3 weeks through March 8th, during our second hour, we're going to continue to examine the Torah's creation account. But then over the following 3 weeks leading up to these events, beginning on March 11th and continuing through the 29th, we're going to focus on what the Torah has to say about the first three invitations to meet with God. We're going to explain their purpose. This is important because eternal life is a byproduct of observing Passover. Redemption and thus salvation is afforded exclusively to those who observe unleavened bread. An entry into God's home is a benefit of first fruits. These are God's invitations and the covenant's benefits, which we individually are free to accept, to ignore, or to reject. We read in the news that there is yet another militant group acting badly, this time also in Nigeria. We're told that they are an offshoot of Boko Haram. Now, what's interesting is that that we constantly hear that Islamic terrorist group, Islamist groups as they're called today, radical Muslims are offshoots and linked to Al-Qaeda. Well, now in Nigeria, we're being told that they're linked to Boko Haram. One of these days, somebody in the media is actually going to stumble on the truth and find out that every one of these terrorist clubs, of which there are thousands in the world, are all linked to Islam. They're all linked to the words and deeds of Muhammad, which are recorded in the Quran and Hadith. It was because Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist that they are terrorists. They are following their lone prophet's example. Well, yet we read that yet another militant group is in the news for acting badly. This time, yes, it is an offshoot of Boko Haram. Boko Haram, by the way, means books are forbidden. It's bragging about kidnapping. Wonderful. This Nigerian militant group was linked to the kidnapping of a French citizen and the group actually claimed responsibility, very proud of their kidnapping. In an email sent to reporters, Ansaru is the Arabic word for the Ansar. The Ansar are the friends and supporters of the Meccan Muslims who stumbled into Yathrib, today's Medina, after being kicked out of Mecca following the satanic verses. And so this group is called the Helpers. It said that they helped by kidnapping seven workers on Saturday because of their transgressions and atrocities. You see, in Islam, killing is a good thing. Kidnapping is a good thing. The slave trade is a good thing. Rape is a good thing. Those things are all approved in the Quran and Hadith because Muhammad did all of those things. But you can kidnap in Islam because of someone else's transgressions and atrocities against Islam in Afghanistan, Mali, and other locations. So if you try to free people so that they aren't subject to Sharia law, now in Mali, for example, as well as in Afghanistan, the application of Sharia law was savage. It was inhumane. And yet, those who sought to free the population from those transgressions and atrocities are considered the perpetrators of transgression and atrocities in the upside-down world that is Islam. Those kidnapped included workers from Italy, Greece, and Lebanon. Those governments have all confirmed that its citizens have been kidnapped. The Nigerian police said a Briton was also kidnapped. Gunmen took the workers from their offices. Had a construction company, and the company now says that they are suspending their work on projects in Nigeria. The gunmen first attacked a prison, burning two police trucks. Why would they attack the prison? Because so many of their fellow comrades have been imprisoned for committing atrocities against society. In December, the group claimed responsibility for kidnapping other citizens back along the border with Niger. And U.S. officials say that this group, the Ansaru, is an offshoot of the Islamist militant group Boko Haram. The United States officials aren't smart enough to say Ansaru, which is based on Ansar, which is based, as I said, on the two groups. When the Muslims fled Mecca in shame following Muhammad's embarrassment with the night's journey on the wild winged ass to Jerusalem for his meeting in the non-existent temple. And then the satanic verses where he said that Allah had three intermediaries who happened to be the sun gods and moon gods of Central Arabia, and then said that all of Allah's messengers speak on behalf of Satan. He was booted out of town, and when he and a ragtag group of fumbling Muslims from Mecca arrived in Yathrib, they elicited the help of the local population there. And what they promised them was that if they fought all mankind on behalf of Muhammad, they would be given a direct trip and entry into Allah's paradise, which is where they would be able to conquer virgins constantly. And, of course, as a reward in this life, they were able to rape the women of whatever community they terrorized, and they were able to plunder any community that they robbed. And so these folks were called the Ansar, or the Helpers. But U.S. officials are either too ignorant or too irrational to recognize that this is a fundamental Islamic term, that the Ansar are a offshoot of Islam. But no, they wish instead to convince you that they are an offshoot of another Islamic group, that being Boko Haram. Then they want to tell you that Boko, which is means book, and Haram, which means un-Islamic, therefore books are un-Islamic or unacceptable, that the name means Western education is a sacrilege, because they don't want you to know that Muslims are against all forms of books, even the Quran. Because, you see, even with the Quran, they don't want anyone to read the Quran in their own language. They don't want them to understand what the Quran says. All they want them to be able to do is to memorize it and recite it in religious Arabic, a language they don't understand, so as to be enchanted by it, as opposed to understanding it. The moment you come to understand the Quran, you cease to be a Muslim. That's same thing with Paul's writings. The moment you come to understand what Paul said, you cease to be a Christian. The moment you understand the argument that is being promoted by rabbis in the Talmud, you cease to be a part of the Jewish religion. Now, Boko Haram, by the way, has a name now that means books are inappropriate, has killed more than 2,800 people in an escalating campaign to impose Islamic law on largely Christians, but also on peaceful Muslims. And so here we have ongoing attacks, and rather than taking the opportunity to correctly identify the source of the attacks, we have the U.S. government contributing to a delusion. We have Tony Styles on the line now. Tony is an entrepreneur and political commentator. Tony is a proponent of accountability on the Tony Styles Show, which is socially liberal and physically conservative. He broadcasts out of Omaha, Nebraska. Tony is also fashion backward by his own admission, donning a hairstyle that was less popular among the Mohawk Indians, part of the Iroquois Nation, if I'm not mistaken. I happen to be Sioux by background, Tony.
And yeah, totally. I'm part Iroquois.
Yeah, okay. Well, great. I don't think we warred much in the past, the Sioux and the Mohawk. The Iroquois is, of course, a confederation of tribes, not a tribe by itself, but quite a history that, of course, the United States managed to snuff out.
Cover that up the best they can.
Yeah, that's not a proud history. And I spend a lot of time on this show trying to expose myths because far too many Americans are beguiled by blind patriotism and really are not aware of the malfeasance of their country. They don't know the history of what actually happened, for example, in the Civil War. But while we're talking about Iroquois and Sioux, have no idea as to how dishonest, how brutal, how ruthless, savage America was as it branded the Indians as savages and then destroyed them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And now they keep them quiet by feeding them alcohol and giving them free land to live on and keeping them occupied doing things other than being productive.
Yeah, it's amazing that that we can, as a nation, lecture Israel about giving back the West Bank, the Sinai, and Gaza when we stole this nation from the native peoples.
Oh, outright just stole it.
Yeah,
it's really kind of a sad history. I understand why they don't want to teach. It's the same reason they don't teach anything about the Holocaust in German schools.
Yeah, it is true. We make up a history that feeds propaganda because patriotism causes people to be easy to control. We'll return with Tony Styles after the commercial break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. We're here with Tony Styles. Tony is a radio host in Omaha, Nebraska. And before we get to the topic that we were going to discuss with Tony, the first thing that I wanted to do is to play off a little bit of what we were just talking about. It's interesting that the native peoples in the Americas were called savages by invading Christian population because they weren't Christian. They were considered to be savages, and yet the Christians savaged them. Sort of an interesting perspective, particularly when you bring it forward to today. I receive a lot of letters from men who have been in the military and therefore been assigned to duties in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the American military does the same thing today. They indoctrinate the troops to believe that the people they are fighting are savages whose lives aren't worth living, and that it is considered acceptable to take their lives. You're just ridding the world of another savage.
True. That is exactly correct. I have a lot of friends that are military. Being at a young age like I am, I have a lot of friends that have been fighting and have been fighting for 10 years now. You know, straight out of high school, I graduated in early 2000s, and they went into the military, and they have not had more than a grand total of 10 months home since they started.
Yeah.
And it's been very hard for them, very hard for, they haven't even gotten into the point where they could even start a family yet, and it's really starting to eat at a lot of them.
Yeah, and not only that, but they over the past 10 years, all we've done is make two very bad situations infinitely worse. I mean, we in Afghanistan, we pushed the fundamentalist Muslim.
People angry. This is a very easy way to make people angry.
Kill them.
The very way to make people angry is to kill their kids.
Right. You know, it's a lesson that we don't seem to understand. It was the lesson of Vietnam, the lesson of Vietnam that we didn't learn. Every time that we flew B-52s over Vietnam and dropped Agent Orange and napalm, we manufactured 100 more communists for everyone that we killed. And exactly the same lesson is the lesson we didn't learn in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we manufactured enemy.
Sure. Something very different about this particular war that we're in. What they have, the difference between this one and Vietnam, the big difference is, of course, they're killing kids in Vietnam, and they were killing animals. Pretty much anything in sight had to be killed because they would strap bombs to anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They would, you know, they put them inside things, and that's just what they did inside, you know, packing around babies and things like that. The difference between this and that is that they saw when we were coming most of the time. We were in boats. We were on foot. We were parachuting in.
Right.
Now, we're just sending a drone straight over the top and blowing up anything within a two-block radius. They don't see us coming. So all these kids out there, they are truly innocent children. They don't have a bomb strapped to them. They're out playing. And the big myth that I see out there is that they surround the compounds with kids. Well, yeah, that's true. But the problem with that statement is that these drones, I've had people on my show before here in Omaha where they used to be drone operators, and they told me they can strike within 4 feet of the target they need to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be as big of an explosion as it is. They're leveling 2-3 blocks just because they can.
Absolutely. You know, the President of the United States and his drone strategy has murdered 4,000 people. He's murdered them without due process. Many of them have been women and children. The vast preponderance of them have not killed an American. The overwhelming preponderance of those that the president has ordered to be killed without due process, without any judicial review of any kind, have never killed an American. And yet, because we can, we do.
Yeah, that's correct. I just got done. I was playing on. Early in the morning, I play on Facebook. I play on Twitter. It wakes me up. I get things going. Mm-hmm. And on my Facebook page, there's a guy on there on one of the comments about drone strikes, about how, you know, this. I have a picture of a little girl. Her name is Shakira, and she's burnt 80% of her body.
Yeah.
And it's due to a drone strike that was ordered by a man that won the Nobel Peace Prize. And,
of course, that
strikes a lot in there just because of the way it's worded. And he gets in there and says, well, these people are enemies. It doesn't matter. They're enemies. I'm like, how can this? She was 4 years old. This 4-year-old girl wasn't the enemy. He says, well, all's fair in war. You just have to go get them.
Guess what, though?
That's not a good mentality. That's a very dangerous mentality.
Let's just assume for a moment that we're at war. Who are we at war with? Who are we at war with?
Yeah.
Who are we at war with?
We're with terrorism.
No, you can't be at war with a tactic.
I know. It's true.
You can't be at war with a tactic. So I ask again, who are we at war with? If we're justifying the killing of women and children and collateral damage because we're at war, who are we at war with?
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer.
It is an easy question to answer, but it's a question that no one seems to want to answer. We'll deal with the answer to that question when we turn to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're here having a discussion with Tony Styles. Tony is the host of the Tony Styles Show in Omaha, Nebraska. And we were talking about the collateral damage and how so many Americans think that it's okay that we burn a little girl over most of her body, or that we kill women and children with our drones because we're at war. So I asked Tony, who were we at war against? And, of course, the initial reaction is we're at war against terrorism. And the immediate response to that is, wait a minute, you can't be at war against a tactic. So who are we at war against? So let me preface the question again this time, Tony. We claim that we engaged in this war against terrorism because of the suicide bombings of 9/11. During those bombings, the perpetrators of that crime had only one thing in common. It happened to be their religion. And they all screamed, Allahu Akbar. Do you think that might be a clue as to who it is that was trying to kill us?
Sure. I'm listening with open ears. Let me hear it.
Allahu Akbar is the Islamic prayer of fear. Allah is the Islamic God. It is the name of the Islamic God. Allahu Akbar was first uttered by Muhammad's followers when Muhammad savaged a Jewish farming community. It happened to be the community of Kabar. And the purpose of the Islamic prayer of fear was Muhammad wanted the Jews to know that his God, Allah, was greater than their God, Yahweh. And so the Islamic prayer of fear that is shouted out before every Islamic terrorist attack to this day is Allahu Akbar. It means that Allah is greater. So with that realization, who are we at war against?
That's a tough one. If you want to say religion, I think it's somewhat of a tough sell, but I can buy it. What do
100% of the terrorists today have in common? What is the one thing they all share?
They're Muslim extremists.
No, they're just Muslims. They're not extremists. How many terrorist raids did Muhammad lead during the first 10 years of the Islamic era?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Do you know that he led some?
No.
He led 75. He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. Muhammad terrorized every community within camel ride of Medina, yesteryear's Yathrib. And the Quran tells Muslims to follow Muhammad's example. So when Muslims act like terrorists, whose example are they following?
Well, they're following his. But can't that be classified somewhat as a misinterpretation of what was going on? Because what they were fighting against isn't the same thing that they're fighting against now. Right now they're just simply fighting because they don't like the way we do things, and they think that we are a Christian country.
No, the reality is that Muhammad attacked because it was the only way that he could fund his religion. He became a terrorist exclusively because he funded his religion through the slave trade. He motivated Muslims by allowing them to rape the captured women. And he funded the growth of his religion by the conquered, the stolen booty. That's why the 8th surah of the Quran says that stealing is lawful and good. That's why the Quran is a declaration of war against all humankind. That's why the Pledge of Aqaba that started the Islamic era had Muhammad promise those who would follow him paradise if they promised to wage war against everyone. It's not a misinterpretation. It's extraordinarily clear. But I'd have to ask you a question. You are a radio show host. The news is dominated with bad behavior by Muslims. They're killing each other in astonishing numbers. 99% of the terrorist attacks in the world are perpetrated by Muslims. You represent the vast majority of younger Americans. Why would you not care enough about what the motivation is of this enemy to study the sources that they believe? Well, why not read the Quran and Hadith to find out whether or not these terrorist acts are being perpetrated by extremists or fundamentalists? Whether they are.
Well, I've read the Quran. My issue with everything is that when we declared war against them, we didn't go about it in the right way. And there has to be, we have St. Augustine and Hippo's just war theory, and that's been our premise for every war that we've gone into up until this one. And we really, with these people, there's some of them that do believe that wholeheartedly in that message that you're speaking of, and there's others that don't believe that. And of course, they're being overshadowed by the extremists that do want to run this agenda that you're speaking of.
No, that's not true.
And they're getting killed off by these people. Now it's hard for us to go in there and find these people and give them their what for.
No, that's true, Tony. The fact is that America, you'd have to be look long and hard for to find a war that America fought that was just. You know, we went into World War. The Civil, the Revolutionary War wasn't just. Two-thirds of Americans were opposed to it. The Indian Wars were not just. The Spanish-American War wasn't just. We went into World War One based on lies. Here we're engaged in wars in Afghanistan and Iraq based entirely upon lies. We don't fight just wars. And in the Islamic world, 60 to 70% of Muslims, when they're given the opportunity to vote for leadership, vote for the most fundamentalist Muslims. Those who are advocating jihad are not extremists, they're fundamentalists. I mean, that's the primary misconception in America, is this notion that that the terrorists have corrupted their religion, when in fact it's the opposite. The religion has corrupted them.
Oh, yeah, that's true with almost any religion. I believe it's when you go into it so deep and believe it so deep, and there's some religion that I do believe is good in that sense, but it does lead people to do things that are bad. You know, you have people here in the United States where there's Christian extremists that believe, you know, we need to kill homosexuals and we need to bomb abortion clinics, which, you know, but if you read the Bible, it does spell that out pretty easily for you to understand that those things are sinful. But at the same time, you have, you know, Romans 3:23 that tells you all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't give you a justification for sinning, but at the same time, it tells you, yeah, we're all sinners. Let's not get hung up because one person sins in a different way than you do.
Wrong again, Todd. Wrong again. First of all, Paul was a false prophet. Everything Paul wrote was opposed to what Yahweh said in his Torah. We're going to be rational. If a guy claims to speak for God and then contradicts everything that God actually said, he's obviously lying. So Paul was a false prophet. We ought not quote him as something that is truthful and reliable. As for religion, you're right. Religion corrupts. All religion corrupts. Religion, God hates religion. He hates religion because religion, just like politics, is based upon myth which lead people astray and cause them to make horrible decisions. And the problem here, though, in your example, is that you quote a Christian fundamentalist. Well, to be a fundamentalist Christian, then you would actually have to, by definition, follow the example of Yahusha. Yahusha is the actual name for the person misknown as Jesus. You'd actually have to follow his example if you were going to be a fundamentalist. His example was observing the Torah. So if you were a Christian fundamentalist, you'd cease to be a Christian because you'd be observing the Torah.
Sure.
Now, you wouldn't
I can get that in a certain sense, but at the same time, we have the Council of Nicaea. For example, mm-hmm. where they came and they quantify which books of the Bible.
That's a myth. Tony, that's a myth too. That wasn't the purpose of the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea existed.
Well, that's not the purpose of the Council of Nicaea. That's what they accomplished.
No, that's not what they accomplished. That too is a myth, perpetrated by the religion of Christianity. What was accomplished at the Council of Nicaea is Arian was called a heretic. The purpose of the Council of Nicaea was to deal with Arian. Now, you probably never heard of Arian. Arian was a fellow who came to the realization that Yahusha was begotten, that therefore he was not the totality of God, and that to base a religion on Yahusha being a unique individual was inconsistent with the teachings found in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And so he said, the direction you're going here, which is to propose the notion of an Old Testament where that God is no longer relevant and now creating a new God based upon Yahusha, is completely inconsistent with what he said and what the Torah, prophets, and Psalms reveal. Well, Constantine couldn't deal with that because Constantine wanted to remake his religion on Mithraism, on the sun god religion. And so the Council of Nicaea existed to label Arian, who was correct, a heretic. And out of that council, and Arian being rendered a heretic, they were able to create their new religion by creating their new caricature of God who was modeled after Dionysus. That was the purpose of it. As for the books that are included...
But the purpose and the result are two different things.
Well, that was the purpose. That was the result. What books were codified as being part of the collection began much earlier, much before Constantine was even considered. And Paul's animosity to Yahusha, his animosity to Yahweh, began around 50 CE. And the only reason that his books are considered scripture now is because of a fellow named Marcion. Now, Marcion was a raging anti-Semite. He was a wealthy individual who came up with the concept of the Old and New Testaments. That concept is completely alien to God. There is no Old Testament. There is no New Testament. The covenant has not yet been renewed. And so Marcion came up with this idea of calling the Torah, prophets, and Psalms the Old Testament, and then Paul's letters and Luke's account as the New Testament for the purpose of creating this new religion that was opposed to the old God. And that is what caused, and his funds, which distributed Paul's letters, is what created this myth that is now ascribed to the Nicene Council. We'll return to shattering myths and come up with the reasons that people kill, a lot of which are associated directly with beguiling religions and also with propaganda and patriotism. I am Yada, this is Shattering Myths, and we're with Tony Styles. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with Tony Styles, who is the host of a talk radio show in Omaha, Nebraska. He's also a political commentator, and Tony is actually doing America a tremendous favor, because not only on his own show, but also being willing to be a guest on other shows, is pointing out the hypocrisy that is just oozing out of American governance today. His most recent press release talks about the conflict that between America supplying guns to young children throughout Africa and the Middle East, and yet the American president trying to take guns away from Americans. And that's just got to make you want to scream, doesn't it, Tony?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it comes down to, Obama logic is what it comes down to. It's saying what's good for us isn't necessarily good for everyone else. And he's a strong believer of a level playing field. You hear him say it all the time. Everybody needs to be on an even keel. He keeps on saying.
Yeah, you're an entrepreneur, right, Tony? You've been in business.
Oh yeah.
When you were in business.
Own many companies.
Okay, Tony. When you're as an entrepreneur, is it your goal to make your company average?
No, of course not.
Is it your goal? Is it your goal? Is it your goal to lower your standards and raise the standards of your competitors?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Is your goal in business is to lower your standards and raise the standards of your competitors? Makes perfect sense.
That's what you do. Do everything faster, better, and cheaper.
Okay, so economically, it makes perfect sense for us to punish success by stealing ever more money from those people who are the most productive, and rewarding failure by giving ever more money to those who don't want to work. That's a brilliant economic strategy, right? That's
a backwards way of doing things.
Okay, so in the guns thing, we're doing it is exactly the same strategy. In the guns, we're going to say it's bad for peaceful Americans who are law-abiding Americans to have guns. Bad for them to have guns, but it's good for America to be the largest seller of guns in the world, providing the very weapons that are being used to kill tens of thousands of people around the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's Obama logic. It's saying you don't need a gun because government's never going to come and do anything against you. But we need to send guns to other people because they need to defend themselves against their governments. That's insanity. It's absolute insanity.
So America's president is preaching insanity, actually trying to perpetrate insanity on America. And yet, last time I checked, he won this last election pretty handily, didn't he?
People love the guy.
So what does it say about a nation of people who love somebody who is doing things that are counterproductive, arming their enemies and taking guns away from them?
It's ignorance. It comes down to them falling for the classic, you know, I'm going to give everybody Skittles and fart rainbows and make everybody happy. And that's what Obama preached in his first campaign.
So let me ask you another question, Tony.
He didn't accomplish any Skittles to anybody or any rainbows. He went again and said, you know what? We didn't do it exactly right, but it's not my fault. Let me have another chance. And they elected him again. It's really insane to expect him to do something differently the second time, especially when he doesn't have to get elected again.
But let me get back to it.
Sure.
The fact is that that Americans overwhelmingly elected him to be president. That means that Americans are either ignorant or they're irrational. Is ignorance bliss? Is it okay under these circumstances, therefore, to be ignorant and irrational? Or is there a consequence?
No, it's not okay, but they are anyways. To them, it's very convenient because they don't have to think about anything then.
Yeah, Yahweh said through his prophet Hosha, Hosha means he saves, my people are destroyed because of ignorance. God doesn't think that ignorance is a really cool thing. He thinks that the kind of discussion that we had, and I really appreciate your willingness to go down that road with me. I recognize you as a man with broad shoulders who could handle that, and that's why I appreciate you doing it, because it brought us to this point here.
Sure,
being unaware, being ignorant of things like the nature of Islam, the nature of Muhammad, the nature of the enemy that we're fighting, the nature of the hypocrisy of our government, rather than being bliss, is the very thing that is causing us to destroy ourselves. We're committing suicide through our ignorance, aren't we?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. This is not something that can be argued. I would challenge anybody.
Well, Tony, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show. I'd love to have you back as a guest. I enjoyed our discussion, and it ultimately underscores the single most important thing for Americans to understand. We have become dumbed down. America as a whole has become an ignorant and irrational nation, and as a result, we are inflicting suicide upon ourselves. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back after the commercial break.
You've heard about or even used colloidal silver for years. But did you know there's a silver product that is much better, faster, safer, and superior? Silver that is fundamentally distinctive, different.